about what you're doing. And later on, switch on TV. They give me the news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Adams is on.
Thank you. Three bowels. Well, hello everyone. It's today is June 20th. Am I reading that right? June 20th. Wow, it's just about summertime, right? What is it, tonight at midnight or something? I'm not even sure. But here we are, and it's the beginning of summer. Lots we could say on that, but we won't. Here we are indeed. Father's Day weekend coming up tomorrow. Happy Father's Day to our manly, humanly, earthy fathers. Most of all, there is no birthday for the Heavenly Father, but he's the one that really makes it all possible, isn't it? Indeed it is. I have some special clips today that I want to play on the program. We may hear possibly from Dr. K in the second hour as some updates on his trials amongst the Amish and amongst some various other targeted populations regarding the COVID-19 hoax. And that may happen. It may not. Art may be back also in the second hour. You know what? With all that's happening in America/Israel today, I always think of certain scriptures. Many of them, as you know, are in the Old Covenant as well as the New. And I'm just already finished up with the Pentateuch. I finished Deuteronomy, and it was a pleasure once again learning more and more about the law. Moses, the lawgiver, and now we have a new lawgiver who took his place, Joshua. And Joshua will have the same authority that Moses had. It's amazing what he did over Jordan, the 12 stones that were, you know, planted so that God would actually rise the water, or raise the water to the point where he would level it off, dry it up, as he did with the parting of the Red Sea, interestingly enough, so that the Israelite army could go over and begin the process of conquering the Canaanite land. Well, that's very interesting in itself, but I don't want to go there today. I want to reference it, but actually would like to read from 2 Timothy. And you probably know what I'm going to read. When we see these times, great upheaval in our country, and when we see what is happening in the world as a whole, the rebellion, the wars, the conflicts, the rivalries, the neighbor against neighbor, unhappiness that we see, and even the polls show that Americans feel the most unhappy now that they ever have in over a half century. Gee, I wonder why, huh? I thought this was a time of rejoicing. I thought this was a time of progress. I thought that all is being healed in the land as we approach the new throne of Satan and his kingdom in America today. A so-called race-free or racism-free America with a K. Well, I guess not. I guess we still haven't conquered that one, huh? I guess we still haven't conquered the whole idea of a fallen man and a fallen earth and a worsening earth situation. Oh, the earth will get better. The world will get better. Man will get better. So says the evolutionist that we're going to reach that plateau. Well, obviously, they're contradicted by the facts, and yet they continue to lie. They continue to hypothesize, and they continue to conjecture, foolishly and illogically. No, my friend, 2 Timothy tells it like it is. Timothy, a great student of Paul the Apostle, took over the reins from Paul. And, you know, in Timothy chapter 3, he tells us the kinds of times we're heading into right now. This know also, folks, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Not happy times, not joyous times, not healing times. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are righteous and good, traitors, that goes without saying, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into homes and lead captive silly women, lustful, evil women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, doesn't that tell us what state we're in, state of mind? What nation, what time, what juncture we're in on the timeline? Huh? Never coming to the knowledge of the truth, but learning, studying, conducting studies, everything that you could possibly conceive of, grant money for new investigations, new probe, new panels, new commissions. It was then, and it is now more than ever. So we're told that these are the things that we need to resist. Resist them. And the evil, corrupt manners and the minds that are reprobate concerning our faith. See, they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. All scripture is God-breathed, my friends. And anyone who thinks that this is just made up and this is just poetry, well, obviously they will find out very shortly which is which. We're in those times of rebellion, the times of unhappiness, times of revelry. We're in the times of rioting, revolution. That's calling for a police state mentality. It's calling for a restoration of order. Now, what kind of order will that be? It won't be God's order. We have all of these players, football players, we have baseball players, we have sports figures, celebrities taking a knee, bowing to Satan. But notice, they never speak of taking both knees, planting both firmly on the ground, and asking Heavenly Father to forgive them of their sins. See, that's what Hosea 4:6 is all about. You see, this is what Isaiah is all about. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will repent of their sins, I will heal their land and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. If they will. Have they done it? No. Will they do it? No. Not as a group, not as a nation, not as a whole. Because they have a hero. They have a hero in politicians. They have a hero in Donald Trump. They have a hero in all of these political figures. Well, I don't. I don't. The only one I have faith in is the one that I can trust, and that's the Father. I can't trust anybody else. I don't trust myself. You shouldn't trust yourself, because we're all prone to mistakes and to error. Folks, it is all too apparent that we are failing. Anyone who says we are not is a fool. But you see, even the enemy will agree that we're failing. But why are we failing? Well, we're failing because we haven't enacted New Deal legislation for the 2000 era. Instead, we want to have holidays, Juneteenth, or whatever they want to call it. The end of physical slavery, they claim. Well, that's not the end of slavery. The new slavery began on the very day that slavery was proclaimed to be ended in America. We are all slaves now, whether we know it or not. We're a much worse off slavery system than we were then, because we don't even know it. We don't even recognize it. You might as well put, you know, your bars all around your yard, your property, your house, because you don't own it, number one. The criminal, elite, conspiratorial, bankster, gangster, synagogue of Satan owns it all. For now, we don't own it. We're slaves. We are slaves to sin. We are slaves to the wicked one. If we don't acknowledge where our blessings had come from and who is the author of true liberty, then guess what? We are slaves. We are slaves. We just don't know it because we live in a world of make-believe, a world of delusion. Oh, you see, Timothy had it right. Paul had it right. God had it right. These are the things we can look forward to in these times. Now, given the reality that all over this country there is war going on, war allegedly against slavery, allegedly against police brutality, and there is police brutality, we know why, and we know who trains the police in most departments of America. Be that as it may, this is not a corrective modality. This is an attempt to create a new syndrome, a new hysteria in America, as it was in the days of World War I and II. Find an enemy, and then to identify that enemy, magnify it, metastasize it, and then make it the pariah of all times in order to create a war mindset and a regimentation mindset. And that's what it's all about now, to lay the groundwork for what? For our enslavement. So it's not about freeing the slaves. It's about enslaving the free. That's what Abraham Lincoln represented. Most people don't know that Lincoln, of course, advocated repatriation of the American Negro back to where they came from. But they never mention that, do they? No, I guess not. Just didn't have time. Just didn't have enough airtime to get around to it, or print. I'm going to play for you a couple of segments coming up right now that will refresh your memory and make you understand that slavery was not the issue in any part of America, per se, in the so-called Civil War. It never was the basis for the war. And it can never be made to be the basis, except in the world of Aesop's fables. That's right. It's fake. It's baloney. Matter of fact, the first slave owners in America were black. People don't know that. I'm going to play a couple of clips right now. And who are the ones who brought the slaves here? We know that. By the way, in the South, you know that many Jewish folk were actually part of the Confederate Army, backing the Confederate Army. And many were backing the Northern Army. And we know the family of the Schiff family. Mortimer and Jacob Schiff were the financial planners, the banksters who financed both sides of that war. But there were those who were Jews, who were fighting on the side of the Confederacy. There were many blacks, by the way. We're going to show that to you in just a few minutes in this hour. Just to set the record straight, because as one man once said, Henry Ford, history is bunk. It's baloney. It's bullcrap. I think we can all pretty much agree on that. It's the most subjective subject ever to be taught in school, outside of perhaps psychology and sociology in general. There is no objective yardstick. But I can say that there are historical points that are usually left out of a false narrative. Well, that's what we have, is a false narrative. So let's see. Ken, maybe we can bring up a couple of these clips back to back and let our listeners hear just a couple of points of history that they probably did not fully know. Let's begin with the first. Coming right up. Any moment.
Had slaves in the South? You're saying that during the Civil War there were actually Jewish Confederate soldiers? No way, that doesn't make any sense. When you look at the history of Jewish people, they had been slaves for so long, so surely they wouldn't have been. And why were slaves even in the South to begin with? We all know where Jewish Americans live. They're in the Northeast, they're down in South Florida, they're out West. They're not in the South, because no one counts South Florida as the South. Jewish people don't live in the South, and they definitely didn't live in the South back in times of slavery. Wrong. I learned fairly recently that that was not the case. That, forget about modern times and how things have worked out, but apparently, during times of slavery, and even Civil War, there were Jewish people who owned slaves, and Jewish people, Jewish men, who fought for the Confederate, for the South, pro-slavery. Man, like, that's so weird to think about because, and I made a video about this before, that largely, in many cases, you can predict a person's political beliefs based on their last name. And I gave several examples about that. But when we think of Jewish people, Jewish Americans, we typically think someone who is going to be a liberal, who is going to be a Democrat, or at least a libertarian. John Stossel would be a great example of a Jewish American who is a libertarian, but not Republican. It's there are some, but they're rare. It's rare to have a Jewish American that is a Republican. It's rare. Well, what about Donald Trump's son-in-law? Yeah. He's doing that for the money. Jared Kushner, and I'm sure there are a lot of other Jewish people on Donald Trump's payroll, and they do that for the money, regardless of what their political beliefs are. Isn't that amazing? So what I want to create this video for is ultimately, see, I know that I know very little. All I really am, I'm a conversation starter. That's all I really am. I don't claim to know anything. In fact, most of my videos is me learning stuff, like even right now. What I want, what I'm asking, is for you to teach me in the comments. I want you to type and tell me more about how this could be. Because our modern idea of Jewish Americans does not translate to that they could have ever had slaves or fought for the South in favor of keeping slavery legal. And we can't process that, but we're also looking at that in a modern viewpoint. We're not looking at it from what it was like in the 1800s. So please teach me. Maybe we can learn more about this and talk more about it. That's shocking to me, but I'm accepting it enough that I'm asking you to leave a comment to enlighten me right here.
Okay, that's the first clip, and that's a YouTuber, and he is one of the few that I found to be a little bit palatable. You can get an idea as to what it's all about. Family friendly. That's the Daddy Blog, okay? And that's his clip. Now the next one, if we can bring this one up, is just a very short capsulization of what history is actually saying about the black man who was the first slave owner, Anthony Johnson, in America. See if we can bring that up, minus the Joe Biden commercial.
Historians estimate that approximately 90% of the black shipped in the transatlantic slave trade were captured and then sold to Europeans by other Africans. Anthony Johnson arrived in the Virginia colony in 1621 after being captured in his native Angola by an enemy tribe and sold to Arab slave traders.
You hear that, folks?
After 15 years of indentured servitude, Mr. Johnson and his wife Mary.
We'll finish the clip when we come back. Much more.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
All right, if you want to know the truth, I don't much care for the time I was born into. It seems people aren't dying fast enough these days. They call upon science to invent new, more efficient weapons to depopulate the earth.
Now, and we're just playing the clip. We had to interrupt it, obviously, for the break. Maybe we can just resume, or if you wish, Ken. It's a short 1 minute and change break on Johnson. So let's see if you would like to resume or just play it from the start. Like to hear it again anyway. Here it comes.
Historians estimate that approximately 90% of the black shipped in the transatlantic slave trade were captured and then sold to Europeans by other Africans. Anthony Johnson arrived in the Virginia colony in 1621 after being captured in his native Angola by an enemy tribe and sold to Arab slave traders. After 15 years of indentured servitude, Mr. Johnson and his wife Mary gained their freedom. By 1651, the Johnson family owned 250 acres of land and had four white indentured servants and one black. On March 8, 1655, a Northampton court ruled in favor of Anthony Johnson, who was accused of unlawfully keeping his black indentured servant as a slave. The landmark decision made Johnson one of the Virginia colony's first legal slave owners.
All right, that's the clip. Tells you something, huh? You think that's being taught in any school? I don't think so. I don't know of any school around my way where those simple facts are being taught. No, the narrative doesn't allow for it, folks. It just simply does not permit the people, the children, the school children, the impressionable, the TV viewer, to hear truth. Instead, we're going to hear Amistad by Spielberg. You know, we're going to hear all of the fakery, all of the revisionist history, but we're not going to hear the actual history. Now, I think we'll start now, and we can pause, okay? But this next clip on the so-called Civil War is one that is excellent by Cybernostic, and it's good. It's not on YouTube. It would be on BitChute, where you do have a little bit more freedom, quite a bit more freedom, obviously. And it is facts about the Civil War. Blacks are not supposed to know, and nobody else is either. This beginning segment will tell you by the speaker, who's a black scholar, who is telling you how many individuals, particularly Brooks and others, were actually, by either force or by voluntary desire, fighting on the side of the Confederacy. Let's see if we can catch some of this, Ken. Go ahead.
So, fourscore after gaining freedom from Great Britain, America faced an internal war that threatened her existence. The Civil War would be waged between the states and the Union and the states of the territory sympathetic to the more autonomous Confederate states. Initially, the federal government fought to keep the war, to keep these states that still allowed slavery from leaving the Union. But the Federal Militia Act prohibited enslaved and free persons of color from fighting in the Union Army, even if they wanted to. Now, what happens on the ground begins with one of the characters that I'm going to begin with in my film. And this is a quote. When the Civil War started, there went up a frenzied cry for volunteers, white or Negro. So Daniel and Milford Brooks were free men of color in Cleveland County, North Carolina, who would have been conscripted. This is according to their own testimony. And so they therefore preferred to join and walked 17 miles to Shelby, North Carolina, to join the Confederate Army at the beginning of the war. Now, if you look on the 1840 census, you'll find those Daniel Brooks and the Brookses as free persons of color. Before the war, before the emancipation, obviously. After the war, after the emancipation, I cannot find a record of Milford Brooks. However, I do find, and there are extensive records of Daniel Brooks. He's featured in my film, Earl Ives' Colored Confederates, with a photograph of him with his family in the 1880s. And I also have and found his grave located out in Georgia. And I'm sorry, his grave was located in High Point, North Carolina, and was taken by his great-grandson out in Georgia, because when he died in 1933 at age 95, he was one of the more revered citizens of High Point, North Carolina. So much so that when the brand new federal housing project was built in 1942, and I know this is kind of a bad connotation today thinking about federal housing projects, but the original intention in the 1940s was in fact a good intention. And so those first federal housing projects in High Point, North Carolina were named for Daniel Brooks. And in fact, Daniel Brooks' grandson was one of the first firefighters of color to serve in High Point. And I had the good fortune to meet his grandson about 15 years ago at an SCV presentation in High Point, North Carolina. He told me the following story, that his grandfather's portrait, and I have a picture of it in the film, hung in the High Point City Municipal Building for many years until about 1985, when, according to him, it was taken down due to political correctness. It said Daniel Brooks, Confederate veteran, and it was taken down. No one knows where the original portrait is. And then to make matters worse, his trunk, Daniel Brooks' trunk from being a Confederate veteran with his uniform in it, was stolen from his property. So, needless to say, obviously someone like Brooks has a very storied history before and after, but he just represents just a small slither of what these individuals were, who they were. Now, with the 1861 capture of New Orleans,
And we'll pause right here, folks. And this is the clip. We're going to resume after the break. The facts about the Civil War blacks are not supposed to know. And we will do that in just about 2 or 3 minutes. Stay with us. Support Republic Broadcasting.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership?
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio. All right, we're back, folks, with Cybernostic, and that's who's produced this very, very insightful and informative video production on blacks who served in the Southern Army, the Confederate Army. Let's get right back into this here and listen carefully. This is an excellent, excellent time.
Union General Benjamin Butler encountered the Louisiana Native Guard, which you'll see an image of over on my exhibition table. On the first left, to my left, the very first from your left. After the fall of the Crescent Center, General Butler attempted to recruit these Confederates of color into the Union Army. But President Lincoln prohibited the gesture with a reminder of the federal prohibition of troops of color in the Union Army. And this is the opportunity that President Lincoln took to declare these men as contraband so that it would never be elevated to a status of citizenship and hopefully avoid the question of freedom and slavery. Now, after nearly 2 years of civil war, the Confederate Army, with the aid of people of color, were in fact defeating the Union Army. Formerly enslaved men like John Parker of Virginia served at First Manassas. Has anybody here heard of Professor James McPherson? Right, okay. Has anyone here read his 1965 Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Negro Civil War? Highly recommended, because here's, I think, more than any reason why, is that Professor McPherson gained his notoriety and Ph.D. and in fact, won numerous awards for writing this book, where he cites from primary sources that John Parker was in King and Queens County in Virginia and enslaved, and in fact was serving in an artillery battalion at First Manassas, where he describes lobbing grape fodder and getting grape and receiving fire and actually witnessing other enslaved men who were working those artillery batteries being blown to bits and smithereens.
Well, as you know, the city council here in Ringo, they removed the battle flag and replaced it with General Claiborne's flag. I have a problem with General Claiborne's flag. I certainly have a problem with the way the council pulled the flag down. And just like most of these folks around here in the Southland of America who have become politically correct and not necessarily historically correct or socially correct in the body politic, they certainly don't talk about the place of honor and dignity that folks who look like me earned under the Christian cross of St. Andrew that I'm very proudly carrying here today. So I'm certainly here to bring attention to not only to your citizens, but to the entire world of an injustice that's taking place right here in Ringo at this depot, as well as all across the Southland of America as we face social cultural genocide for those of us who want to embrace our ancestors and for those of us who call ourselves Southern. And certainly these folks around here who voted to take this flag down, who call themselves Southern, ought to be ashamed of themselves.
You're 100% for this Confederate flag.
Listen, 2002, donned in the uniform of a Southern soldier, carrying this flag, I walked 1,606.1 miles all the way from Aspen, North Carolina to Austin, Texas, to bring attention to the place of folks who look like me who earned a place of honor and dignity under this flag. Absolutely, I'm 100% totally blood. I am Southern above all else.
Where you live?
I'm born and raised in the city of Asheville, North Carolina, sir. I'm the immediate past president of NAACP in the city of Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, what brought you, did you come to Ringo, Georgia, just to carry the flag today?
Absolutely. It's important. I don't come just to Ringo. I go all across the country with my flag. Anywhere you'll find this kind of injustice that you have here. You've got folks now running for president of the United States of America, talking down on my flag, my Southern heritage, my ancestry. Why would I not be in Ringo? Ringo's been on my site for a long time. I just finished my 5-year reunion march back to Texas, so didn't have time to get around here. And along with the Sons of Confederate Veterans, I gave a keynote speech for Black History Month in Cross City, Florida. And Ringo has been on my agenda for a long time. I'm very happy to be here.
How long are you going to be here?
Until my clothes get tired. So I don't know. Until somebody run me off. Some mighty fine police officers came by this morning and told me to stay as long as I like, as long as they don't get any complaints around here. And certainly, I don't know why anybody would complain about an old handsome black man standing here embracing the flag of his ancestors and of my homeland, the Southland of America, sir.
Any other soldier. I'm Mama Duke, Joe Shelton, bodyguard. Done everything they told me to do. And so one day, Mama Duke, General Mama Duke told me to go and get some chickens. I told him I didn't know what's going on. He said, I've got his gun, look like I'm ready to chaps on there. I told him, yes, sir, I'll go right now. Well, you ought to know how old I am?
Yeah.
I'll be 81 years old the first day in August. Stand with
me. One of the most famous generals in the Confederate Army was Major General Nathan Bedford Forrest. He had 45 slaves whom he took from his plantation to serve with him during his command.
Willingly.
Probably one of the most elite units in the Confederate military was Nathan Bedford Forrest's cavalry, and specifically one of his units, his own escort company. These were essentially the Green Berets of the Confederate cavalry. They were handpicked, the best troops. They were put into this escort company, and when the fighting really got down to the wire, Forrest would put in his escort company to basically carry the day. Of these handpicked men, about 20% of them were black cavalrymen. But these were some of the bravest, some of the best shots, some of the just most fearsome men that the Confederate cavalry had. And these black and white troopers formed this elite group of Forrest's escort.
Forrest was a major slave trader prior to the Civil War. His attitude towards black was one, at best, of paternalism. He viewed blacks as property. After the war, he viewed blacks as having a particular place in society.
And after Reconstruction was over, he actually worked through the Democratic Party to bring black voters in this area into the fold of the Democratic Party. So if anything, he was a man of his times in this area of the country.
My great-grandfather, as a Union soldier here on April 12, 1864, faced black Confederate soldiers under the direction of General Nathan Bedford Forrest. He was also wounded here, and I don't know whether he was wounded by a black Confederate soldier or a white Confederate soldier, but I know he was wounded and he was captured here. And from April 12, 1864, until October 31st, 1865. That is when he returned back to his unit.
I think fundamentally, Forrest was a pragmatist. While slavery was a legal institution, he was willing to use the system and benefit from the system. When the war was over, he recognized slavery was through, that it was never coming back, and he went about trying to rebuild his fortune. Forrest addressed some of the black citizens of Memphis after the war and told them that the war was over and that he would advise them to do the same thing that he advised the men who fought with him, and that was to become good citizens and to vote. He said, "I will not tell you how to vote, but vote." He was a pragmatist. People don't realize that, and too infrequently give him that credit when it comes to issues particularly involving slavery.
They say he was good to his slaves for one reason. The old dollar sign. That way he'd get more for them, you see, and get more out of them on his plantations. Well, that's half truth, too. I mean, he was good to his slaves. But he was also good to him because he was a humanitarian.
On a large plantation such as Forrest ran, about the only records you get are things that deal with how much food was issued or what kind of work is expected. And the sorts of things that deal with person-to-person relationships are very hard to come by. The one thing that I can tell you from a historically valid point is that at the beginning of the war, when Forrest raised his own regiment, he recruited 42 of his own slaves and said, "Drive wagons for me, drive ambulances for me. At the end of the war, the Union wins, you'll be free. If the Confederacy wins, I will set you free." During the course of the war, one deserted, the other 41 were with Forrest at the end of the war. I suppose that tells you something about the force of his personality. That does not necessarily directly answer your question, but it certainly tells you that he was a man that was able to win the allegiance of people.
I said to 45 colored fellows on my plantation that they would go with me. If we got whipped, they would be free anyhow. And if we succeeded, they would act faithfully with me to the end of the war. I would set them free. 18 months before the war closed, I was satisfied that we were going to be defeated. And I gave those 45 of them their free papers for fear I might be called. General Nathan Bedford Forrest, 1865.
After the
All
war...
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. That's part of this documentary that I've told you about, and I think it's quite good. And, again, it's really done with black scholars who are actually in the forefront of this movement to try to eradicate many of the myths and lies and falsifications of the Civil War, as it's called, as any other war, because war is a racket, as I think we all know. But these are the wars of the synagogue of Satan. Satan's children, from that verse of Scripture, from the beginning, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 onward, we now see the seed line of Cain, and Jesus denounced it in no uncertain terms. Said that they were responsible for the blood of all those from righteous Abel to that of Zechariah the prophet and all those shed upon the earth. That is the generation of the evil figs planted in Jerusalem in 1948. So he said it must be seen through its very end. We cannot interrupt it. We have no business trying to stop it. We have no business trying to fight against it to the point where we kill them, because he said that the seals, if you will, the judgments, will be upon those who touch Cain's seed line. Why? Because that's his responsibility. He will judge them. He will annihilate them. He will destroy them on that day of his return. So let us not make any pretense to the contrary. This curse, not of Canaan, but the curse of Cain and his seed line, is throughout the whole world today. That's why your economy is being destroyed. That's why the whole world is being told it must come together under a common prayer banner, common roof, you know, a common altar, if you will, so we can all put aside our differences and all love one another. They're still fighting that battle. See, because this dumb generation today really has no background. They haven't been taught these things in school. So they don't know that this was all done before twice. We had the Roosevelt administration in 1933. It was called the New Deal then. It was repeatedly struck down by the courts until he finally got a court that would agree with it. It's called Marxism, socialism, collectivism. Then in 1964 and 5, Lyndon Johnson came up with the Great Society idea. And he was going to fight poverty, but we'd already fought it and won. And he was going to establish prosperity by handing out these stimulus checks, right? And he was going to have the Model Cities program. Sounds like Cain's seed line, the builders of cities. And he was going to have, this old new HUD program, development, housing and urban development, and the whole nine yards. And he was going to just make everybody happy. What he did was he ghettoized America. That was the plan. The plan was to keep the black population down so then they could be cannon fodder to be used by the Demopublicans or the Republicrats to continue to imprison and enslave the rest of society. You know, this is what the Supreme Court is all about today. You see the Neil Gorsuches. You see the John G. Roberts. These are Republican appointees. Friends, they're no different. And the Democrats. I've been trying to tell this audience that I don't know how long. It doesn't make a dime's worth a difference, because there isn't a dime's worth a difference between one little slave party and the other little slave party. Both are slaves to the synagogue of Satan. Both of them serve this cause of building a one-world system. Both of them are opposed to individual liberty and true rights, not civil rights, but state authority and individual liberty. They don't mesh with civil rights. They collide with it, you see? Like this Supreme Court decision on the 1964 Illegal Civil Rights Act, extending protection for transgenders, for the LGBTQ community, which makes no sense on its surface. Government doesn't give rights. You have no right to be gay any more than you have a right to be straight. Those are not rights codified in the preamble or in the Declaration of Independence. You have the right to seek to do these things. You have the right to seek an education. But you do not have a right to an education at somebody else's expense. For if government can give rights to one group, then it must, of necessity, take those rights away from the others. Government cannot give. It can only take. Rights exist in the free marketplace of the economy. If you don't like your employer because he doesn't like your sex or your sexuality or your preference or whether or not you're going to be a man or woman or something in between, that's his business. You have the right to quit. But Neil Gorsuch and John G. Robbins and all of these other Republicans like Sandra Day O'Connor, you know, the William Kennedys of this court now, they're all walking in lockstep with the Eisenhower appointees. You remember Earl Warren, the worst decision I ever made? Yeah, that wasn't the worst. But you can be assured that he will have to pay for those decisions, especially the ones he made in war. So, folks, this is a war right now. It's a war on the mind. It's a war on you. It's a war on us. Now, I, as I said before, I don't interfere with the will of God. This is what God is allowing to happen because he's judging his people. He's judging us, and he's judging the world. So all these things that Timothy was talking about are things that have to happen. But we don't put our chestnuts in this pot, if you will, of this life's existence. This is not the earth system that we're supposed to live in eternally. America, the countries, the nations, the physical, all of this will be gone when his kingdom opens up. His kingdom is not made of flesh and blood. His kingdom is not made of earthly powers or kingdoms. You see, it will be a totally different world. And as one man said, you're either in or you're out. So you either accept the good graces of the Lord or you reject it. And then you only have one choice on Judgment Day, and that is the lake of fire. So the choice is going to be up to people. And right now, as I said, most people are putting their faith in Trump versus Biden. Or whoever the nominee will be. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because both are slaves to the synagogue of Satan. Unfortunately, that is all too apparent. I don't have to say another word. You know it. I know it. Unfortunately, most people are still delusional. And remember, God says he sends people a strong delusion that they might believe a lie when they reject the truth. Reject him as Lord and adopt a politician. You know what's going to happen? They're going to believe a lie. And then they become reprobate minds. You see, reprobates in their own minds because they don't know the difference between right and wrong. Pitied to be sure. And in the end, when they see Jesus and they see him rule with a rod of iron, they're going to know they've been led astray. And who led them astray? Was it just the media moguls? Was it just the Kenites? Was it just those who called themselves Jews? Was it just those who were their teachers, their school teachers that say go out and knock down a statue of Christopher Columbus, chop the head off and burn it? No, it was a lot of them, their pastor teachers. Their pastors and teachers who told them, you don't even have to worry about this day. You're going to be gone in a cloud, a rapture cloud. And we'll get there after when the fighting really gets underway. So don't worry. Don't learn the word. Don't learn the parable of the fig tree. Just go to sleep, get in the rocking chair, and send money. Send me money. Now, those are the most unenviable people. You don't want to be them. The people that should know better and are lying to their flock. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Don't starve them. Don't give them junk food. Feed my sheep. And are they being fed today? In many cases, no. They're being lied to, malnourished. They're being starved, the word of God. That's what the prophet said. Amos chapter 8, I think it's verse 11. End times famine will be more for hearing the word of God. How sad, huh? It certainly is. Let me take a call. 800-313-9443 is the number. Chance from West Virginia is on with us, I believe. Hello, Chance.
Hello, Rick. Amen, my friend. And let us not forget what that scumbag LBJ also said, Rick. I'll have those N-words voting Democrat for the next 100 years. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And to quote Artie Johnson from Laughing in the 70s, very, very interesting, isn't it? They don't address that blacks sold their own, they don't address, or they will not, that blacks sold their own blacks into slavery, that Jews were selling blacks as slaves, that blacks are killing blacks in the cities in large numbers, that blacks are aborting their own babies in large numbers. Nothing, not even the sound of crickets. Instead, it's let's go after the white man who struggled hard to make a life for himself. See how the game is played with these SOBs? And for those say you can't...
You're right. It's a narrative. It's like a box, a matrix. You have to climb into the box or you're not part of this debate. That's why, all of the talk shows, right and left in America today, they all fall into one camp or another without recognizing that the whole construct is a fake one. It's a fake one.
And for those who say you can't be emasculated, I say to them, when any man is afraid to speak his mind in any way, in any time, at any place, for fear of reprisals, that, my friends, is emasculation to the 100th degree. Being silenced at any time, any place, for any reason is the ultimate emasculation. That's silent emasculation. And that's one thing people have to get over and start facing reality and looking at facts. Would you agree with that, Rick?
Oh, sure. I agree. You're right on. You can see this.
Let me give you another example how this game was played, just in my lifetime alone. Mm-hmm. All right? It was done with the sexually confused. First they were queer, then homosexual, then gay, then alternative lifestyle. Then when it came to the blacks, they were Negro, colored, black, African, then people of color. Now this was done for a reason. When they changed names like this, with certain groups, you can rest assured that they're going to use all those groups with the name changes against you, wittingly or unwittingly. That's the name of the game, people. I mean, after all, they don't pet cat, they don't call it a cat 1 year, a feline animal the next year, a furry purrer the next year, or a four-legged meower the year after that. No, it's not done because your pets will never turn on you.
Well, it's a semantical, polemical game. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good words of observation. Thank you, Chance. We have to break. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I think Dr. K will be coming on for a few minutes or so to update us on his studies on COVID-19 and much more. Stay tuned.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show The Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.